Yesterday we had a good time with the teenagers, and then we considered an interesting topic, standing out and knowing him more in time as this. How to stand out and know him more in times as this. And I'm going to be going through some of the points we shared yesterday before I talk about what I have today, and also having it in mind that my time is limited. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13. Jeremiah 29:13, the Bible says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." With all your heart. The major challenge, or one of the major challenges anyone who wants to please God can face, is that of absolute yielding to God. Absolute yielding to God. An average young person in today's world wants to follow God and still follow Satan. Wants to be in and out. Or better put, wants to sit on the fence. We want to identify with the body of Christ. And at the same time, when the world system brings their own to us, we want to embrace it. So we're now saying, okay, can we just have a little alignment? Let the church shift a bit and let the world shift a bit. So we see a lot of compromises because we want to belong to the system that is enticing to us. But what is the point? What is the instruction, the admonition of God to things like this? And why am I sharing this? Because we've talked about it yesterday. I feel the Lord wants me to say it again because it's going to benefit even the parent. Alright? So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 14 to 18. The Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" That you are a believer, and we know that your friends are unbelievers. The scripture says that there is no ground for cordial relationship. If somebody gives his life to Christ, I mean in those days, one of the things that we change in his or her life is the association. You cut off with friends who have been influencing you badly, who are not going to add to your spiritual journey. But these days, we mingle. And you see, those mingling are not without side effects. Because it doesn't matter how powerful a service is, the company you keep in the course of the week has a way of influencing the sustainability of the fire that you carry. Are you getting what I'm saying? Gone are the days of prayer partners going to pray. Gone are the days of prayer partners going on evangelism. Not because the church is going on evangelism, but you and your partner just decide to go on evangelism. The kind of friends that you keep. Now your friends will call you and say, "I want us to intercede for somebody. I just noticed something going on." And then you begin to intercede. So verse 15 says, "And what concord at Christ with Belial? And of what part at he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement at the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God." I told the teenager I had yesterday that you should be proud of your identity. We have a lot of identity crises in this present age and time. When a young girl says she's a virgin, she's become an outcast in this present world. Among her peers, among her colleagues and acquaintances, church girl, church guy. Many of them even find it difficult to share their church flyers on their status because they'll get at them. Church guy, church girl. That's what is going on actually. And because many of them are not sure who they are in Christ, or many of us seated here are not sure who we are in Christ. He said you are a temple of the living God. You are a temple of the living God. There are scriptures that when you meditate, it changes your orientation for life. I'm a temple of the living God. Are you getting what I'm saying? In other words, in the Old Testament, they have a temple in the tabernacle. There's the altar call. There's the holy place. There is the holies of holies. And when Jesus came, he tore the curtain into two and he gave us access. Are you getting what I'm saying? And by the dispensation of the Holy Ghost, he now says that temple moved. He no longer stay in the synagogue in Israel, in Jerusalem. It's not in Damascus. It has moved and it now inside of you. So when people are seeking God, they come to you. So we will carry God around. And I put in one of my scripts of the film that a lady delivered her lines to a guy who was trying to sleep with her. He said, you want to sleep with me? You want to sleep with the body where God dwells? It's because if you know who you are, it will help you to know how you behave. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your identity is tested anytime sin comes your way. What happened to Joseph would have been seen as opportunity to sleep with a woman free of charge and clean your mouth as if nothing happened. Do you understand what I'm saying? That no, I'm not in Nigeria. I just traveled for an event. And this is an opportunity for blanket. You know, they call it blanket. Duffet. So just sleep with your girl's wife and just clean your mouth. And the guy said, I know who I am. How will I do this great wickedness and sin against God? If we don't come to that stage and that position as believer, knowing who we are in Christ, we'll be falling and rising. We'll be falling and rising. The devil will be cheating us. So know your identity in Christ, that you are a temple of the living God. Because of time, let me go quickly to the body of my teaching. Beware of mixture as believers. Beware of mixture. I am not saying that you can't have colleagues, you can't have friends who are unbelievers. As a matter of fact, you are supposed to be the light that shines in darkness. But what I'm saying is that if your close friends, the people you talk to, the people that counsel you, the people you are always in their community are unbelievers, it's not going to help your growth. It's not going to help you to stand out and to know more God the more. 1 Corinthians 15:33, the Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It doesn't matter how well trained you are at home. If you change the environment for 1 year and you begin to mix with bad people, it will have influence. I tell you the truth. That's why any new place you get to, look for a community that speaks your language. Look for a community. Moving from secondary school to a higher institution, get a fellowship. Mix up. Because, you know, when you get to campus, fellowship begin to come to you, fellowship. Now, the fellowship has influenced so many other groups. Kegai too will come to you. Muslims will come to you. You know? Bad people will come to you. So you need to choose your community. Alright? So, and then we also talked about how to stand out and know him more. How? That because if you say something is good, you also need to teach how. But before I talk about how, I shared with them on the times that we are in. What is the time that we are even talking about? What is the time? And we saw that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first 5 verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 to 5. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Okay? Disobedient to, we treated this yesterday. That's in our own, in the times of the daddies that are seated here. Even though some of us, your parents did not go to school, but you obeyed them, right? You obeyed them. In fact, the obedience in those days was so severe, so much that it is the parent that will tell you who you will marry. You are growing, they are already looking at their friends in the community. And they even be talking to the family and say, "Hey Joe, And Akani is not even aware. And then the man will now come and meet Akani and say, "Akani, ati lo bi nfun o." And Akani will say, "E se ba mi." Can you try that now? Amen. You can't try that. So I did say that it's not everything that your parents say, because sometimes they may not be in alignment with the Holy Spirit every time. But that is not an excuse for disobedience to parents. You must obey your parents. You can speak good English than they are, but they sent you to school. Because sometimes young people try to prove intelligence, that they are intelligent more than their parents today. It's not right. Many people are ashamed to showcase their parents. "You can't come for my graduation." "What happened?" "Mommy, why?" Because the mother cannot speak good English. She doesn't want embarrassment. Amen. You must honor your parents. You must honor your fathers, your mother. You know, you must praise them, celebrate them. Because it's a sign of the end time when you disobey them. A woman walked up to me and said, "Can you talk to my boy?" I said, "What happened?" Say, "My boy used to tell me that I can't call him." I say, "Why will your son say you should not call him?" He said, "I should be testing him. That mommy should be chatting with him." So I called him. "Moni, sorry, ekwe. Sorry." Amen. So a lot is happening, and we need to educate our young people that there is the stand of God about parent-children relationship. Honor your father and your mother. Honor them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Honor them. One of the ways by which you can get the blessings of your parents is by honoring them. Honor them with your resources, with your respect. Showcase them. Celebrate them. The next one is unthankful. Unthankful. When your parents do things for you, or other people do things for you, and you don't give thanks. As simple as that appears, is a sign of the end time. There are people who do not have the opportunity of people sending them to school. Your parent paid your school fees. Your husband paid your, you know, children's school fees, gave you money at home. Thank them. "Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma. You needed 1,000. They can afford 500. And we are sorry, Nubai. Thank you. Thank you." The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Verse 3, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That word incontinent means unrestrained, when you cannot control yourself. You want to urinate, you can't control yourself. It's a negative word. There are people in our days that are going out, you know, and there is this serious outbreak of self-control. Lack of self-control, rather. You can't control yourself. Once you pick a phone, you don't know when to stop. You don't know. When you are watching a film, you don't know when to stop. So people will be pressing phone. Only their mama phone, they won't drop it. The battery will be saying 1%. Okay. Lack of self-control. Fears, violence. Don't bully people. Alright? despisers of those that are good, traitors, edgy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Everything pleasurable. Everything, where is happening? One of the things I've noticed with our young people is that when they are in church, they are so cool and calm. Dance. Clap. Pray. I know, because you see, they are intelligent, actually. Yeah. When a group study one day, and a woman said, my children, they don't pray well when we are doing devotion. And one of the children said, ask mommy, how do we pray? Said, mommy will be saying, Oluwa, Oluwa, Oluwa. And mommy will be looking at us, say, we are not praying. Must we shake our head like mommy? he said, uncle, is prayer not communication with God? I'm speaking to God now. Amen. Because you see, now parents must understand stage. I'm very close to our parents in ministry, Evangelist Mike and Gloria Bamloe. One day they were sharing with us. How many of you know them in Lullaby Bamloe? And you know Joshua, you know Dara. Mommy Gloria was sharing with us that, because it was Daddy Mike that was sharing, and said, when you are growing and raising children, you need to understand every stage. He said there was a time that mommy will go and knock the doors of the children. Come out for devotion. Come out for devotion. You know mommies now. Come out for devotion. Sometimes they will say they will not come. Allah mommy took what you do. Because she will not finish devotion on time. Whatever happened yesterday is what you will use to preach today. So, and so Dad Mike will now go to their room and say, guys, what is happening now? Talk to your wife now. And say, and then they will come. He said, that will not even stop the woman. But I say, the devil will not gain you. The devil will not win you. And look at those guys today. Look at those guys. So sometimes when you are trying to push away the admonition from your parents because you feel their wallah is too much, it's because of love and the love they have for you and your future. They've been there before you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I was talking about loving of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You come to church, you don't sing, you are not excited. But when you are doing the things within yourself, and you are playing those songs, I'm not saying those songs are bad because they put Jesus in it. You understand? But the way you and you come here, and you are packaging and you are forming. Now it suggests to us that if your spirit cannot connect to God and bring out excitement, you are not there yet. So what excites you outside of church is not the spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because when somebody comes to the presence of God, it becomes him and God, not just the environment alone. So it's a sign of the end time. Then the last verse says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Scripture says, from such, turn away. And you see, we talked a bit about this, that there are so many things that are formed, but they lack power. Are you getting what I'm saying? I gave an example of where we went to film. We need an airplane, and that airplane was put in a museum. No engine inside. Once you, if you snap there and you Photoshop it, you think you are in the tarmac of Ahmadu Bello International Airport. But seeing that airplane, you admire it, but it cannot fly. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there are forms and packages in our days that you would think that, oh, this is fire. Sir, don't be deceived though. Even tongues are forms today. You will hear some tongues, you will like, angel, he touch your ear upon you. Angel, you more. But this kind of tongues, it must be the angel that put hands on. Let that tongue be tested. The one who just tongue now. Tongue, as in, tongue one, the one jora one thing. The mama woke, there are forms that are, that are copy and paste in our days. We must be careful. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And they go online and display all of these things. Do selfie for your devotion, for your worship. You will set your phone, put it in a selfie, record. And if I, you can see tears coming, right? And me, I used to say, up to tomorrow, you can't convince me that is worship. You understand? Because what happened in the place of worship, according to what Jesus told the woman, is that God is spirit. And they that must worship him in spirit and in truth. There is no truth in that thing that you are doing. We are worshiping God. You brought out your phone. Press record. And you close your eyes. And you are not, some people even position the camera somewhere. And they are moving up. They don't get offshore that frame so that it will capture them. And then you are a content creator. Amen. So scripture says, from such, turn away. So what the Bible says is that we should turn away from them. But the irony now is that we are like them. Who the Bible says we should turn away from. Alright? So, I was talking about how to stand out. The only thing that I'm going to talk about several points discussed yesterday, which is key, is that fall in love with Jesus. If anyone will go far in any relationship, the bedrock is love. Fall in love with Jesus. If every child wants to go far with Christ, teach him or her how to be in love with the Savior. Let there be affection. Let there be intimacy. Let there be love and passion to grow in that love. Because if you don't love Jesus, you can package them, you can beat them, you can chastise them to do church things, to do religious things. But until they come to the place of love, they are not there yet. And that's our labor. And that's the labor of the church for all the young people. Alright? I want to read a scripture for us and 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 4 and 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. The Bible says, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and we do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your heart into the love of God. When I saw that scripture, I discovered that the love of God is a place. It's a place that you, by maturity in Christ, get to. Such that when you get into that place, it will be difficult for you to turn back. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know how many mothers here ran away from their parents' house just to follow a man. And you are still with the man now. Eh? I will not ask you to raise your hand. But your parents said, Jumoke, oh, le fe Samuel. And you just smile. And your mother came to you and said, Jumoke, listen to what your daddy is saying. And you just said to your mother, Mommy, do you want me dead? What is happening? You know, what are we talking about? Mommy, do you want me dead? And Mommy is saying, Joda kuma para esimiloro. Si bati fesa mwe ma para. What is talking? Love me. Amen. What is it? Love. Love. We were told of the story of a man who was sick and he said, take palm, take kidney, he's not responding. Take this thing now. I don't feel like eating, I don't have appetite. And then the fiancé, Cinderella, just came. They said, Cinderella is around. Yeah, Cinderella. Cinderella said, okay, we are eating now. And then started to eat. Praise the Lord. Love can do crazy things. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about infatuation. I'm talking about genuine love can do crazy things. So if you come to the position of love, you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, I tell you the truth. Even your parents sometimes will like, why are you for you? Why are you for you? My friend was telling me, they came from Lagos yesterday, about a boy who came to do IT with them in Lagos and said, this boy will say he wants to fast. He will fast today, eat tomorrow, fast. A young boy. My friend said he woke up in the early hour of the morning and he met this guy in the living room studying his Bible, praying. I said, that's a single boy who has found God. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, when we take them along to church, we take them. It must come to a position when Christ takes them over from us. So until we get to that position, our work is not done. There'll be teenagers program. And she's like, Toba law. Take it back. And he just dragged himself there. He's not there yet. When it's like, mommy, please, what work do I have to do this morning? I want to wake up early and do it. Because 9 a.m. I've got to be in church. So it's when the love of God has taken over your heart on the things that you do. Alright? So, the love of God is the key. If love is not there, it's going to be difficult to grow in God. And I shared things that will make you love Jesus. I talked about having more knowledge of Him. You want to love somebody, you must be knowledgeable about Him. If all couples are best friends, marriages will be friendly. So Philippians 3:10, the Bible says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Okay? So when you know God, you have knowledge of Him, you will not be an half-baked Christian. Because there are so many half-baked Christians out there. Once they leave the territory of their parents, that's when you will know that you are not well-baked. Do you understand? They argue about everything online. Tithe, communion, consecration. They argue about it. And when you check their names, you see Christian names. Those are half-baked children. Half-baked. Speak against the fathers of faith online. Because you now have Twitter. And you follow what is going on in America. Follow what is going on in Europe. And you think the best you can do is to stand against the church. The church that gave every support for your parents, grandparents to become who you are today. But God is raising young people who will be agents of change. They will change the narrative. I say you will change the narrative in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then I also talk about intentionality. Those who came around yesterday will know that I've jumped so many things because of time. Intentionality. When you mean what you are saying and what you are doing, you are intentional about God. You are not just faking it. Your walk with God must come to the position of intentionality. You are in the church workforce and you are not being dragged. You are doing it intentionally. You are not careful whether the senior pastor, the leadership are looking at you. It's between you and your God. You are intentional about it. Many of us are doing a lot, but we are not intentional about it. So intentionality is key. Amen. And today I'm going to round off by talking to you about a menace, one of the enemies of growth, spiritually speaking, to our young people at this time. And not only young people, even adults. And that is social media. Okay? How many of you agree with me? Okay. Praise God. You know that in school we were taught that social studies is the study of a man and his environment, right? Am I right? Yeah. Even if you say I'm not correct, I have my C already for it. I don't even know where the certificate is, so you can't fail me. But I just remember that something like the study of man and his environment. And then when social media became prominent, and if you check the definition of social media, it says social media is digital technology that allows the sharing of ideas and information through virtual network between man and his environment. Now, you have two, there are two similar, same words in the two definitions, man and his environment. But you see, before social media came, our environment was limited to our vicinity, was limited to our culture, was limited to our belief. Are you with me? Such that we can hear what they do in China. You have not been there. You are not seeing it. You can hear what they do in probably America. You can only watch it on CNN. And they will show you the good parts. If you know that those people don't like us, we'll know. When they want to tell the story of Africa in CNN, they will go to one village in Kuku and show where they will not go to Abuja and Lagos. They will just say, this is Africa. God will forgive them. So, you can only see those things there. But today, the world is on our devices. The world. I think it was 2000 or 2001. We finished our annual program. We call it Drama Revival every December 25th. And one of us who had gone to serve in Port Harcourt came. And he came with a mobile phone. Ah! We saw mobile phone. He was holding mobile phone. I tell you the truth, I lie not. It was like he was holding an airplane. So when we finished the drama, we gathered together. And I said, brethren, let's thank God for our brother. God is blessing him. I said, lift your phone. And then he lifted it. And I used it as a point of contact to pray for other brethren. That God that favored our brother will favor us. Amen. And I remember I called my elder sister in Jos. And I said, auntie, please help me. And she told me, do you know how much they sell SIM? 23,000 naira. That was SIM then. 23,000 naira. That was SIM. It was a difficult. So prior to that time, you can never imagine, it can never cross your mind that there comes a time that you will hold your device and you'll be seeing video, crystal clear audio and visual with somebody in Australia and you in Ilorin. We can never imagine it. And that's why I tell people that we are not where we are going yet, technologically. We are not there yet. There are advancements in the technology world that if we don't build ourselves spiritually and our young people, the church is at a risk. The church is not a ministry limited by walls of the auditorium any longer. There is a global attention that this world needs as far as ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. Social media says sharing of ideas. So many people, Jesus is an idea. Your idea. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, Jesus, what do you think? Just an idea. But we've got to share him. Are you getting what I'm saying? And if we don't share him, there are a lot of people that are sharing this, their own ideas with our young people. They tell them so many things that we do not know. Please, if you are so happy and content that you have the control of your children, they don't go out. They are always at home. And they have mobile phone. You are deceiving yourself. Amen. In fact, many of them don't like going out again. Just want to keep to themselves. 100%. And it's not good. It's not good. An American survey says, from the age of 15, about 80% of an American child goes into depression because of social media. He said 80% of them have access to mobile phone. 95% of them have access to social media, maybe through system and all of that. The other day, Professor Adepoju was telling us, an ophthalmologist, that now they organize people, young children, with diseases that has to do with their sight that were not common before. And research shows that the attention they give to the screen, you understand? So because you now have money for mobile phone and you give a 2-year-old child, ma wo cartoon, ma da mo mi ma, just be watching cartoon, you are building a community around him. He's connecting to channels and he's connecting to actors and they are sharing their view. Because cartoons now preach gay, lesbianism. So, and because he's building his own community, he's building his own ideas, it's going to be difficult for you to realize after 7 years and you bring the idea of Jesus, he will stand to oppose you. Because he has been discipled enough with what you have given him at age 2. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not a blessing that your child has a phone. It's not. I'm going to share, my time is up. Oh, my mom. I'm going to share some of the things that will help us as parents. Let me rush there. Because I can talk about social media for a long time. I've been there for a long time. And I know that there was a day they caught a lady in school was not wearing underwear. And then when she was interrogated, she said, "Manians don't wear underwear." And the parents were shocked. How did you get to know that? Social media. So what are the obligations of parents in the next 5 minutes that I have? Number one, phone is a powerful tool, but if not well managed, it can destroy a child. It's like putting a 5 or 6 years old child behind the steering to drive. They don't have control over the larger community you are exposing them to. So watch the age that you expose them to social media. There are legitimate things that are to be done online. You should monitor them, manage them. You understand what I'm saying? You know all the assignment now, we need to go online. Alright? And I also say that a grown-up child is working online doesn't mean he's trained. You know. Amen. I need to add that. There are mature minds that you have trained that they are making money online legitimately. They are working smart now, not working hard. Legitimately. As some of the people are standing doing so many things, they are making money online. I read a story last week on Twitter. A man said his father put up his property for 30-something million and he bought it with his company's name. The father did not know. He said, by the time he signed the paper, I will show him. This is the boy that you and mommy used to shout at. You are always sitting before computer. All your mates and the hospital working as doctor, you are always sitting before. So that you will know that my sitting in front of computer can buy your property. I'm saying there are legitimate way. And that's why you must expose them to opportunities on time. About IT, about coding, content. Because it's a global village. What you sell in a shop you rented for 250,000 in a year, somebody can sell online in the comfort of his room in 2 days. It's a world we find ourselves. Number two, have access to your child's phone and social media platform. Don't be an analog parent in a digital world. They come and show you something that you want to see on Twitter or on TikTok, and you are saying, this song is fine, and they will just take the phone away from you. Mommy, it's phone here, and they will continue to see other content. You are happy that my child is looking at good content. Excuse me, go online. Register YouTube, register TikTok, register Instagram, follow your children. see a post and invite them. Why did you post this? Because taking it from them at some particular age is caging them. Say, one be one sin when. They were born into this thing. Some of us, it came to meet us. Abi, it came to, you did your wedding without social media, without phone. Even though I pity all of us then. How you carried your wife to everybody in your parents, in your family. This is my wife. I'm on a wedding. This, and your father will say, oh, ti lo ki aburo mi to wa lo yo, ti lo so. Amen. I didn't know how you managed to call the person bringing your cake. It's almost time. But I'm about dinner. Ah. Ekpele aye gbanye. Hallelujah. And then at a tender age, keep your children's phone with you at night. Some of them don't sleep in the middle of the night because of those phones. Engage them on productive ventures that they can be doing so that they will not just be sitting down during these holidays. Let them learn trade. Let them go out. Let them mix with people. Form a community for them so that it will not be limited to online. Then a family should have off-screen time. Off-screen time. Make it a policy in your home. This time of the day, this time in a week, no one is pressing phone, all phones off, kept in a place. Let's talk and mix together as a family. Because we are losing the community, even of our own nuclear family, as close as it's supposed to be. Finally, James chapter 1, verse number 17. James 1, verse 17. I close with this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. This scripture says every good gift comes from above. Now, can I ask you a question? Children, are they gifts from God? If they are gifts from God, every child is a good child. Every child, including the one that is heading a courtist, including the one that is into cybercrime, including the one that is into, you know, pornography, including the one that is into armed robbery. Every child that comes from God is a good child. But most child are corrupted when they shifted from God to the parent who handles them. Negligence, lack of sensitivity. Then corruption begins to come into every child. Corruption begins to come into every child. So my challenge to you as a parent this morning is that may the gift of God in your home not be corrupted. Pray, labor, be sensitive, work, do it as a ministry, because that good can be made evil. And I have a word of the Lord for somebody who says, I tried, I labored, I did all I could, but they are not turning out well. Can I tell you something? If you have done your best, go to rest. God will do his own. Jesus labored for 3.5 years over his close brethren and disciples. Non-ceremonially, Peter was the head of the apostles. And when Jesus died, and Peter said, guys, I'm going back fishing. He called the major key holders of the fellowship, and they followed him, and they went to Galilee, and they started fishing. And Jesus appeared to them. Children, have you caught anything? They said, no. And Jesus called Peter. Peter, I labor over your life for 3.5 years. Do you love me more than this? Peter said, I love you. If we were to be some African parents or some general overseer in Nigeria, I labor on you for 3.5 years. Because you have a son for me. Peter, oh, Nick Berry. Ah! Okay, Peter. Oh, Nick Doke. You know, that's what many people will say. And some parents are saying it to their children. Mo gbe lo church at a young age. Mo ko loro Olorun. Because you have a son for me. You are cursing them. You don't need to curse them. Because your labor is a seed. It will germinate. Jesus understood that. He said, Peter, don't worry. You will be strengthened. But watch it. When you are strengthened, strengthen your brethren. When the Holy Ghost came, the same Peter who led people to the river, led people at Pentecost. That same child will lead to greatness. That same child, it's a word of the Lord. I feel like sharing it with somebody in the house. That same child, those children will make you proud. In years to come, you will tell their story and you will say to somebody that learned from me, I want to encourage you. Once you have trained them in the way of the Lord and they are turning out like this, don't worry. They are coming back to showcase glory. Can we rise and give God praise in this house? Let's give him praise for this word. Appreciate him. Appreciate him. And whatever God has spoken to you, in any way the Lord has ministered to you, can you commune with God and say, Father, help as a parent. I need your help as a child. I need your help as a parent. I need your help as a child. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying.
We sure hope you have been blessed by the teaching of the Word of God. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, don't stop listening to the Word of God. For more messages from us, visit our website, www.thf.org.ng. You can also follow us on all our social media platforms at THF Church NG. Thank you.